No. Hang on.
This is not a good
score. All right,
yes, fine.
Ready?
Welcome to the bite-sized edition of the Editor Roundtable podcast. Here on the Roundtable, we're dedicated to helping you become a better writer, following the story grid method developed by Sean Coyne. In these episodes, we bring you some shorter solo articles and interviews on topics that interest us as writers. Hi there, this is Valerie Francis, and with me again today is Leslie Watts. And we are talking all about the progressive complications and escalating stakes of Whiplash. So join us for a quick bite of writing insight, starting right now. If you listened to the episode we did on Whiplash earlier this season, you'll have heard me going on and on, oohing and aahing about what a terrific job Damien Chazelle did with the progressive complications. So I thought it would be fun to take a closer look at just this one aspect of the film. And Leslie, blessed soul that she is, agreed to jump in and help me out here. Kim Kessler and I actually wrote a Fundamental Fridays blog post all about the progressive complications, and I'll link to that in the show notes if you want more information. But before we dive in, let me read out the summary of the beginning hook, middle build, and ending payoff again, just to reorient you to the film. In the beginning hook, Andrew Naaman is a first-year music student at the Schaefer Conservatory in New York, when Terrence Fletcher, a band leader he admires, offers him a spot in studio band, Andrew must decide whether he'll accept it or not. He accepts and is humiliated in the first rehearsal. In the middle build, having been humiliated by Fletcher, Andrew decides to dedicate himself even more to developing his craft. As you'd expect from a performance story, the middle build is preoccupied with the training. And when the city bus breaks down on the way to the Dunellen Music Competition, Andrew must decide whether he'll find another way to the event or forfeit his opportunity to perform as the core drummer of studio band. Andrew rents a car, and after a series of events that continue to ramp up the tension to an almost unbearable level, and it includes a car crash in which he suffers injuries to his head and hands, Andrew goes on stage but is unable to play. When Fletcher throws him out of the band, he suffers a mental break, is dismissed from Schaefer entirely, and reports Fletcher's abuse to authorities. Finally, in the ending payoff, Fletcher offers Andrew a chance to play in his new band at the JVC competition. When Andrew realizes that Fletcher has set him up to fail and to be publicly humiliated, he must decide whether he will walk away from music forever or go back on stage and show what he really can do. Andrew goes back on stage and for the first time in the film takes control over Fletcher and his music. During his performance, he self-transcends and his musical genius shines through. He finally earns Fletcher's respect. Okay, Leslie, so we're talking specifically about the progressive complications of Whiplash today. And what I want to start out with is a simple question. Why do the complications need to progress? Why do stakes need to escalate? And here's what I think. The writer's goal, whether you're writing a novel or a screenplay, a writer's goal is to get the reader emotionally involved in the story, emotionally involved with the protagonist and his adventure. You want your audience to feel something. So the question then becomes, how does this whole notion of progressive complications evoke an emotional response in the person reading your book? Well, what they're doing is raising the stakes of the story and bringing your hero, your protagonist, either closer to or further from his object of desire. Now, what exactly is getting progressively more complicated then? Well, look, the easy answer is the story, but it's more to it than that. The thing that is getting progressively more complicated is the hero's ability to get what he wants. It's the journey. It's the pursuit of the goal. Overall, it's getting harder and harder for the hero to get what he wants until it seems like he'll never get it. And of course, that's the all is lost moment. But it can't only ever get worse for the protagonist. Like your story can't just constantly spiral toward the negative. I mean, that's really boring because your reader will know exactly how every conflict turns out. He's going to lose them all. But for your story to be really interesting, he's got to win some and he's got to lose some. That means that the complications can be positive or negative.
I agree, absolutely, because whether a complication is positive and helps the protagonist or is negative and hurts the protagonist, it complicates or changes how they go about pursuing their goal. And any alteration in that pursuit alters the landscape, even if it's for the better, and even if it's only a little bit, it's just a slight variation.
The other question I wanted to look at was this idea of stakes, because like we're talking about this a lot. This gets thrown out a lot. You got to escalate the stakes. You got to progressively complicate the story. Well, how does this issue of stakes tie in with progressive complications? Ultimately, what's at stake for Andrew at the global level is his global want, right? His global object of desire, which is to be one of the best. He even says to Nicole, I want to be one of the greats, like Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, all those guys. Now, just as there are objects of desire at every unit of story, there are complications and stakes at every unit of story. The hero has one macro want. That's the whole thing for the whole story. For Andrew, that's to be one of the greats. But he also has micro wants in each of the smaller units of story. So at the act level, at the sequence level, at the scene level, and even at the beat level, if you wanted to get that granular. So like I said, at the global level, Andrew's global want is to be among the very best musicians in the world. However, if we look at the act level, just the first act, what he wants to do is get into studio band, because that's a stepping stone toward his larger goal. And in the opening scene, he wants to impress Fletcher, because that's a stepping stone to getting into studio band.
Right. That raises an interesting point about one way to vary the types of complications in terms of the stakes, right? A character can risk the loss of something they already possess or that they've already attained, as opposed to risking an opportunity or the potential to attain or obtain something. Now, performance stories are about manifesting our internal gifts in the external world. And as Sean says, protagonists are forced to display their gifts under duress and society's critical evaluation. Now, the interesting thing about these stories is how, as the protagonist gets closer to their goal, gets closer to the opportunities that put them in the way of obtaining their big global want, the stakes actually get higher. They actually risk the whole thing all the more, and they have more to lose as they get closer. For example, in the beginning hook, after the disappointing encounter with Fletcher, Andrew's dad says, and rightly so, there will be other opportunities. Now, he was further from his goal at this point because he wasn't in a position to be seen by Lincoln Center's gatekeepers, but he also hasn't burned any bridges. By the time we get to the ending payoff and Andrew is playing before these gatekeepers because of Fletcher's invitation to be the drummer at the jazz festival, Andrew has gained a renewed opportunity, but he gets only one shot at this with the scouts, and Fletcher is out to humiliate him.
You said something really interesting at the beginning of that. You talked about varying the types of complications, and that's really important because you don't want to repeat the same complication the same way in your story. Why? Because they're going to know how it turns out. They've seen it before. Now, in saying that, there's lots of examples where a complication will be repeated, but not exactly the same way. There's some variation on it. And the writer is setting the reader up to expect a certain thing, and then they turn it. So the resolution of that scene or of that unit of story is different than what we saw before. Now, I talked a lot more about that in our episode on Waking Ned Devine, actually, and I'll link to that in the show notes. Okay, Leslie, I got a question for you. So we know that complications can be positive or negative, right? They can represent opportunities or obstacles for the protagonist. So would you consider Andrew's relationship with Nicole to be a positive complication or a negative one?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Valerie, because I think Nicole represents both a positive and a negative complication, because in complications, there are objective facts, but also subjective meanings. So in the beginning hook, Andrew follows Connolly's lead. He's further along on the path, so he's watching, what is Connolly doing and how can I do that too? He's the core drummer in the band and he has a girlfriend. So Andrew then likes Nicole, who works at the theater, and chooses to ask her out. And her positive regard for him, the positive response, helps bolster Andrew's own self-regard. And that helps him continue in pursuing his goals at the time, in the beginning hook. But in the middle build, when Connolly becomes a rival for the position of core drummer in studio band and for Fletcher's positive regard, Andrew sees Nicole and perhaps his need for love and belonging as a threat that risks his present position and future opportunities. He doesn't want to be like Connolly anymore and decides he's willing to sacrifice his relationship with Nicole because it will dilute his focus. He chooses to break up with her, and at that point, Nicole is a negative complication.
This whole idea of complications, it fascinates me, and I think we need to spend more time talking about it and studying it within the StoryGrid universe, because progressive complications started out as the second of five commandments in a unit of story, right? You know, and the turning point was the little buddy of the second commandment. And it seems like it's sort of turned on its head now with the turning point having eclipsed the progressive complications and getting all the focus. And it's important. Don't get me wrong. It's super important. But so are the progressive complications. So if we look at Whiplash as a whole, and we keep Andrew's want in mind, which is to be one of the greats, well, there's various things he needs to do to get from where he is, which is a first-year music student, to one of the greats. Within the universe of Schaefer, he needs to be the core drummer for studio band. That is the thing that's going to get him to his ultimate want, which is to be one of the greats, like Sean Casey, right? Who became one of the greats.
Right.
And was well on his way to being an icon in the industry. So if we look at that and we start breaking it down into the smaller and smaller steps that Andrew needs to overcome in order to get to that object of desire, that's where we start to see the progressive complications coming into play. And we start to see the stakes escalate. So what I'd like to do is just spend a couple of minutes pulling an example from maybe each of the three acts and have a look at how this is actually put into practice in Whiplash. Like in that opening scene, which is just dynamite, we have Andrew, who's a first-year university student. Clearly he has talent or he would never have gotten into Schaefer. All he wants to do is be noticed by Fletcher. That's the first step, right? To be noticed by Fletcher and to be impressed by him. Well, he gets noticed, but he doesn't impress. So then as we move through the beginning hook, well, Andrew gets noticed by Fletcher, and he even gets an opportunity to go into studio band. Like when we see the junior band rehearsal, and Fletcher says, okay, drums with me. Everybody assumes it's Connolly. Even Andrew thinks it's Connolly. Everyone thinks it's Connolly. So he gets this incredible opportunity now, a positive opportunity to go and join studio band. However, this positive opportunity complicates the story and raises the stakes unbelievably, because Andrew is in over his head. He's not ready for studio band yet. Remember, he is the alternate drummer for junior band. That's light years away from the core drummer in studio band.
Right. And I think we see a really great example of this when the trombone player is humiliated and kicked out. And we see then what's at stake, because you know you're never going to get an invitation to come back once you're kicked out. So if Andrew makes a mistake, he could be kicked out. That's it. His last opportunity. And of course, then we see when Fletcher turns his attention to Andrew, the increasingly aggressive attempts to bring Andrew into line or to test his mettle, depending on how you look at it. But at first, Fletcher seems supportive. Then he throws a symbol in his direction. Next, Fletcher gets in Andrew's face and then slaps him. And finally, Fletcher ridicules him and shames him in front of his peers. It's pretty bad, and it's hard to come back from that.
In the middle build, I break the middle build into two parts. And yes, in Story Grid world, we talk about the three-act structure, right? The beginning, the middle, and then end. And as I talked about in the bite-sized episode I did on this, you can break the middle build down into smaller pieces if you want to make the story a little easier to write and to be less overwhelming. And a lot of films and even some novels break the middle build into two parts. And in the middle is this thing called a midpoint shift. And I think that's what's happening here in Whiplash. So the first part of the middle build, I have from Andrew's practice. There's a montage there after he's humiliated in the initial studio band rehearsal. So I take the middle bill starting with that practice session montage where, you know, Andrew's hands are getting bloody and he's got band-aids, all the way up to the drum off. I don't know what else to call it, where they're doing a practice session on Caravan. This is the studio band is doing the thing on Caravan, and Fletcher has gotten the news about Sean Casey's death, and he makes Andrew and Tanner and Connolly compete for the core drummer position. And then the second part of the middle build, I have from that point where the bus breaks down, it's the whole second competition that they do, from where the bus breaks down and Andrew can't get to the competition, all the way up to when he reports Fletcher after having been kicked out of the university.
Right. And I actually look at, when I'm looking at the middle build of this story, I'm looking at what really stands out to me are the differences in the opportunities lost versus the things you've already attained and have a risk of losing. So at the start, Andrew has made it into studio band as the alternate, but he knows this position is tenuous. He wants to be the core drummer, which is an opportunity that he later attains. And he wants that because it might make it more likely that he stays in the band and gets the opportunity to be on stage at the performances, which will help him with his global want to be one of the greats at Lincoln Center.
Right. You know, just before the midpoint, Andrew is the core drummer of studio band. He is absolutely in exactly the right spot to attain his goal. But this is only, you got half of a film left. So to me, what this midpoint shift does is take him from that high point of being in the core band to his all is lost moment.
Right.
That's how the story gets progressively more complicated. That's what the progressive complications do, right? It puts that global want at stake, front and center. Like, dude, you're not getting it. Okay, we could go on and on and on about this, but this is a bite-sized episode. So I think this is a good spot for us to jump to our key takeaways. And for me, really, it's the elegance of the simplicity of this storytelling. Now, when I say simplicity, I don't mean simple. I don't mean easy, because it's not. It's like clockworks. Every piece fits into the other piece. But what we do often as writers is we try to create this spider web of a plot that rivals Game of Thrones. And that's how we try to progressively complicate our story or raise the stakes in our story. But it doesn't have to be that way. And Whiplash is an excellent example of how a story can be very streamlined and clean, yet the stakes can be really high and things can get really complicated, like to the point where your reader can't put your book down or your viewer, if you're a screenwriter or playwright, just cannot look away from the action that's happening in front of them.
That's a really great point, Valerie. And before I get to my takeaways, what I want to say about this film is that we get it all the way to life and death stakes, right? You know, we could say that that's excessive in terms of a story about a drummer. But what I think it's meant to show is what all of this means to Andrew, which does actually take me to one of my primary takeaways, is that we definitely shouldn't repeat complications, but the ways we vary them can be subtle. And the objective facts are really important, but the subjective meaning, what the complications represent to the protagonist, is probably more important in terms of escalating the stakes. And my other takeaway is that the middle build is a place in the story where writers really struggle. I think the key to conquering the middle build of your story is in mastering the way your complications progress, the way you raise the stakes, because the middle build is where the global progressive complications occur. Master that, and I think you've gone a long way to mastering the story as a whole. That wraps it up for this week. Thanks so much, Valerie, for having me along as you dive deeper into progressive complications in Whiplash. You can find links and additional materials in the show notes at storygrid.com. Also, remember to sign up to Valerie's Inner Circle at valeriefrancis.ca/innercircle to get exclusive content, including when Valerie and I were talking before the show and just brainstorming and riffing on these ideas. We recorded a lot of great material, so you'll want to check that out. And also sign up to receive updates from me through the Captain's blog at writership.com. To support the show, leave us a rating and review and tell your writer friends about us. Join us next week for another episode in which we'll all deepen our knowledge of story and level up our craft. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.